Okay.
It is now.
Okay, is thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. I yield.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gerard.
Yeah, hey, Gerard, I was wondering if you had any thoughts on the meeting with, you know, Trump and the sheriff yesterday. Didn't look too promising from my viewpoint, a lot of other people's.
I don't know if it's talking about the meeting where he was talking about asset forfeiture or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and they're wanting more material from the government to oppress the people.
Yeah, because and what's it about? It's about what? The war on drugs?
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. We need to have asset forfeiture because we got to go after these people in the war on drugs, and we need more military material, you know, to back us up. It's you know, it's a crock of you know what.
Yeah, it wasn't good, and I heard him, and he's eating that whole thing up because I don't know if he's just not understanding it or if he's just part of that. I think he's ignorant. I think he doesn't understand. You know, he look at those people in his lifestyle live in a bubble, and they believe, you know, he probably believes the same garbage that they've been feeding us. That look, we allowed this to happen because they told us there was a war on drugs. We allowed this to happen because they told us there was a war on terror. And Donald Trump is no less susceptible to that than us. And he's drank that Kool-Aid now, hasn't he? Now we need to educate him on that. And look at. We talked to sheriffs, and we've talked to them, and we haven't had much good luck with sheriffs, have we?
No.
So, you know, there needs to be an outcry from the people, whoever those sheriffs were that were saying that. Their constituents should be coming forward and say, no. You're actually part of the problem here with that attitude. And so how are we going to educate Donald Trump on that? I don't know if we can educate him on that or not, if he's capable. But certainly for one thing, we certainly will get his attention if we got rid of all those sheriffs that talk like that and all their constituents, if there was an outcry and said, no, we don't want that. You know what I mean? But I don't see that. I don't see that. That's not a good thing. I don't think it's good, and I don't think it's encouraging. And it gives me pause. It makes me not feel good about things when I hear that baloney. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah,
militarized. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, there were some comments on the site there, and one of them was Gary Jolly said that he was going to get John to do a paper on that, and you know. File it or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if you guys have discussed that, but somebody who at least using Gary's name was making that promise.
Well, I'm sure John will do a paper on it, and I'm sure that we discussed some of the militarization of the police in our paperwork. You know, we touched on all that stuff, but does that mean that he's not going to get that whole picture by reading our paperwork. It is in there, but there's an awful lot in there, including the kitchen sink, right? So very specifically, that has to be addressed specifically, and it has to be addressed by we the people. And, you know, I don't know. You know, there's probably areas that think that that's great. You know what I mean? But it's going to be up to us to make an outcry for that type of stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nobody can do it but us. And look, Donald Trump's been programmed just as much as any of us have, maybe more so. Look, this guy that lives in the lap of luxury is a multi-billionaire. What do you think's running through his head? You know, I mean, what's running through his head is what they put there. And, you know, unless we can show him. You know, I mean, they need, whose assets are they forfeiting? I mean, if they were just getting drug dealers' assets, we wouldn't care, would we? I mean, if they were really drug dealers, we wouldn't care, right? Most of that. I mean, I got my own opinion on the war on drugs because I don't think that you can, make people not use drugs by cutting their hands off and putting them in jail and get rid of the dealers. They're always, look, it's been how many years they can't get rid of it unless you want to do like China did and start cutting off the hands and heads of the people who are using. And so what you're talking about is having a police state. The only way you're going to get rid of them like that is locking us down in a police state, and I'm not willing to do that. Look, at you want to buy a bag of cocaine, stick your head in it, and die? That's up to you. Back in the 1800s, you could go in the pharmacy and buy a bag of cocaine, and it had a skull and crossbones on it, and if you stuck your head in it and you were laying there, people step over you. Maybe the church would pick you up. I don't know. You know?
Yeah, well, the whole philosophy is that it's not the person that's guilty. It's the money. So unless you can prove that you came by that money legally, which really probably isn't cost-effective, then you're just going to have to forfeit it.
Yeah, but that's a violation of due process.
Of course.
Look, in other words, you're guilty until you're proven innocent. So, and because it's money, they're willing to take away your rights, right? Now we can't. That can't stand.
I agree. I yield.
Hey, Gerard.
Yeah.
Hey, while we're on the being cautious about Trump situation here, I don't know if you guys heard about it or not, but Forbes magazine put out an article here saying that rumor has it that Elliot Abrams might be his deputy secretary of state. Do you guys remember Project for a New American Century, the Bushy boys' plan for perpetual neocon wars and, you know, trigger-happy Wisco Nation, you know, regime change garbage? This is the guy he's actually thinking about bringing in as deputy secretary of state. And this same guy, Elliot Abrams, also was bashing Trump and tearing him down and everything else, trying to keep him from getting elected and turn other Republicans against him. And now he's thinking about putting him on in his cabinet. And I'm thinking, is he even thinking, A, and B, this guy is extremely dangerous and is likely to work with Mattis and other people to basically get us into World War III pretty quick. And the funny, the ironic thing is, you know, he criticized Hillary Clinton, Trump did, for being trigger-happy and very unstable. I think if he's not careful, he's going to let some of these neocons he's put into his cabinet pull us right into the war that he said he was going to try to stop, and that'll be irregardless of his relationship with Putin and Russia. But that's my two cents worth. It scares the crap right out of me in a healthy way. I don't mean fearful as in I'm, you know, losing sleep and, you know, hair's falling out and, you know, losing my faith in Jesus Christ or anything like that, but it's just fearful to think that somebody that could get so many people supportive of him and then he can turn right around and do something this damn stupid, you know, just to put these kind of people around him. Cabinet members make policy for any presidential administration, and this was one of my biggest fears about Donald Trump whenever he was running, was that he would have good intentions, but then he'd surround himself just like Ronald Reagan did with all the Council on Foreign Relations, all the neocons, all the Bilderbergers, the whole nine yards, and then they'd end up steering things and stabbing him in the back and, you know, doing stuff behind his back and moving the military and other forces to do things. Same old, basically. So that's my concern. Hopefully it's unfounded. Hopefully somebody will come back later and say, oh, gosh, you didn't have anything to worry about. You know, he's got our back. But things like this give me huge concern. And then you got Tillerson and other people like that in there as well. But that kind of stuff bothers me. But that's all I wanted to say. I mean, anybody that hasn't read that article might want to check that out, because this Elliot Abrams guy has got a long history in other presidencies as well, and he's not a good guy to have anywhere near that kind of position.
Well, he's got a numerous people in his cabinet that are, as far as I'm concerned, are not good. because of their background and what they represent. And I, you know, I gave him the benefit of the doubt because I figured, you know, at least in the banking industry, that he's been moving in those circles for all those years, and he's had to work with them. And so I, you know that saying where you keep your friends close, your enemies closer. But it seems to me like he's cavorting too much with them. You know what I mean? They're going to end up, like you said, leading them around. And the president is only as good as his cabinet. One of Donald Trump's successes is that he knows how to surround himself with people that give him, you know, the can do the real thing and give him the real information and do his will. But, you know, when you get into politics, they put their arm around you. And they're the ones now telling him, let me tell you how it's at, where it's at, what it is. And if their voices are louder than ours, then that's a problem. And that is what the problem is. They're probably, look at, they're starting to gain control over him. You know, as much as he may have good intentions, his knowledge might not be up there enough to, you know, to resist those things and those temptations. You know, they're flattering him and telling him this and that, and maybe feeding him some lies, you know? So I don't know what the answer is, except the answer is that our voices have to be louder than theirs. And I don't know, you know, I don't know that, you know, that we're going to have enough time to make enough difference there. You know what I mean? And that's right. That's why this whole Committee of Safety thing is even more important, because if he's going down the wrong path, if he's just a plant and a shill for this New World Order to gain foot, because they know everybody's fed up and they know there's groups out there like us and we're starting to wake up, and so they have to give us something that tastes good. So, and they, you know, we know that they always know how to do one step backwards and two step forwards. They've been playing that game for years and they never change their MO. So if we don't get together and solidify what we believe in amongst ourselves, I mean, I just went through that whole thing about our relationships and how things need to be real between us, so that they, you know, whatever's going on, they won't be able to sell us a bill of fake goods. At least if we're in solidarity in our communities, we'll be able to stand in our communities. Look at this federal government can only stand as well as the county lets them stand. If we could take our counties back, I don't care what Donald Trump does. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what bothers me, though, Gerard, is if we get into another war, you know how blindly patriotic the American public gets, and then they'll basically take us down the same road. This is a fear, okay? I mean, it's just a concern. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but we go into another war, it'll just be another Bush regime change situation. Most Americans will be dumbed down and think that blindly supporting the government and, you know, unfunded and unnecessary war excursions are going to end up being the definition of patriotism again. And, I mean, it could really sideline a lot of what we're trying to do here in L.A. And I wouldn't put it past, you know, that being by design. Like you said, they see groups waking up out here. They see groups trying to organize, get the courts back. They see a president that has good intentions try to change things around. What have the bankers and the elitists always done in the past? They've gone and started another war.
Well,
so I'm hoping that's not what's going to happen. I really do.
You didn't think they were going to give up without a fight, did you?
Oh no. But I mean,
look at either he's good and he's going to try to do some good, but they're going to try to subvert him. And if they don't think they can subvert him, you know what they're going to do? They're going to kill him, because that's what they do, right?
Exactly.
And I mean, if he doesn't understand that, I mean, I think he does understand that, and I think there's places he's maybe afraid to go, but it's really up to the people to change the country. It's up to us to change who we are. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that sounds like real grandiose and stuff, but it's really not. It's really about grassroots. It's really about the family. It's really about your relationship with your neighbor and all that stuff. You know, right now, people aren't paying attention to the mainstream media too much. Mm-hmm. I mean, things like CNN and all that stuff, 10%, they're down to 10%, believe it or not. But, you know, people have short memories, and we're creatures of habits, and we've been programmed. And so the minute they create something bad enough and big enough to get everybody shocked into, you know, the shock and awe, if they can come up with a false flag that hits us on our soil, that, like you said, that riles everybody up to get us to bomb Russia or China or something else like that, then the people will fall into that, and you're right, we'll end up in a horrible situation that we think we're trying to avoid, you know. And the only answer, the answer is what I just said before, is that we got to get back to those fundamental principles of life, liberty, you know what I mean, and love and relationship. And I know that sounds like, you know, a real hippie 60s thing, but, you know, I don't mean it in that way. I mean it in a real way with your neighbor, you know, what we're doing and our committees of safety. Look, if we start, you know, maybe this is kind of, all this stuff that's going on up there is sort of a distraction for us, if you want to know the truth, because maybe while you're watching Trump, you're not taking care of your town. You're so worried about who's in his cabinet, and meanwhile, you should be worried about who's your sheriff. I mean, you just met with the sheriffs. Look, we have a direct connection to the sheriffs, and so now he's meeting with this group of sheriffs, and what did we do? You know, maybe that's a good job right there for everybody. Now we should be campaigning the sheriffs and saying, what are you talking about? We're sick of this war on drugs. It doesn't work. You're telling him you want to do – and not only that, how much money does Donald Trump have laying around that he can't explain where it came from? That's what I want to ask him. Can I come to his house and go through his dresser? I want to go in his car, and I want to go where his secret vaults are, and I want to see how much money he has laying around. And I want to do some asset forfeiture on him. How about that? You think he don't have any money hidden? And that's the way I would talk to Donald Trump, because I know where he's at. Don't tell me he doesn't have gold and silver and dollar bills and all kinds of crap hidden. And I know he does. And how about when he's traveling somewhere and he's got $10,000 in his pocket? Now, does Donald Trump get to keep it because everybody knows he's a billionaire, but Gerard doesn't get to keep it because he's a nobody and he shouldn't have 10 grand? Where did he get it from? It must be illegal. I would think that Donald Trump's money would be more illegal than mine. He's got more resources to get illegal stuff than I do.
I'm thinking a lot of those people have a trust, and they're just the beneficiary of the trust, and they don't actually own anything. They just get to use everything, and that way legal liability and asset forfeiture against them personally is very limited in many cases. I think that's the way the wealthy are seem to be able to
run. You're absolutely right. And by the way, you're breaking up terribly. I'm having a real hard time hearing you.
All right. I'm gonna let somebody else chatter anyway. You're right about the communities. It's just that my only point before was that if there's a war where, you know, and it, you know how people were during the Bush era, you know, with Iraq and Desert Storm and everything. Everybody just got blindly, quote unquote, patriotic. But really, the definition of patriotism was blindly support our government in a war that was a false flag anyway around 9/11. And, you know, let's feel good about the fact that they're sending our men and women over there to die in a foreign country and also murder other people on false pretenses in the first place. And, you know, in the meantime, things like what we're trying to do here might take a backseat and for quite some time if we get into a war situation like that. It's a healthy concern. I don't want to be fearful about it. I'll pray about it, like I'm sure other people are too. Constantly got to pray for this guy to have wisdom in his administration, because I do believe his intentions and heart are good. I'm just really wary about the people around him, and I've just seen that pattern in past administrations. The only reason that's a concern to me is if it impacts what we can do here on a local level with our committees of safety, like you were talking about, Gerard, then it's not a good thing, ultimately. because people might all of a sudden decide, oh, this war we're in, you know, this new war we're in is really the most important thing. Who cares about what's going on with the sheriff and, you know, trying to take back our court systems and everything? It's just a concern. I don't think anybody should be stymied and so fearful that they quit doing things like you're suggesting. But it's just something I think that people need to understand. Hey, we're worried about the national scene. There's a lot internationally that could happen that could really impact what we're trying to do here on a national level as well. But in the thought, I'm rambling.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be one of those nights.
All right, sir. I'll let somebody else chatter with you for a minute or two. Thank you for your nap, though.
Gerard?
Yes, who's that?
This is California Fred.
Yes, Fred.
I want to make a statement about those people, those two police officers from New Hampshire. Now, they have a very clear understanding of the Constitution. And the statement that everybody, it seems to go right over everybody's head. The statutory codes that you're referring to were written for them, not for the sovereignty of the republic and the people. That's the main point. That is what needs to be drilled into. That is your legal framework for throwing the shit out of court.
You're absolutely right. The statutes are for the officials. You're right. They're not for
exactly.
us. But, you know, they want
you don't have
and
to
they want to put us in that box like we're some kind of a – you know, look, at every time they get you, they're treating you like you're a corporation or like you're some kind of fiction. That's the problem. And those – and their statutes are for them. That's the only legal place that they can apply them is to themselves.
Well, sir, that's the point I wanted to make. And if there was anything worth drafting as some kind of a form letter you would file with the court over any bullshit, it would be that, addressing that issue and claiming that you're sovereign from it.
And, you know what? You know what, Fred?
And sue anybody that's got any part on it. Anybody that's pressing the charges, anybody that's ruling over it, anybody that's prosecuting becomes a conspirator to deprive you of your rights. And under the common law, that is one of the violations. It's a damage to property, injury to a person, or a violation of a right. Okay,
and
you can rant now. I'm done.
No, that's good. And you went right to the heart of the matter in a certain sense, because that's exactly where it's at. And that actually is in our paperwork. That is in that case. We speak directly to that because we didn't give them that authority over us. And that is in that case. And that's why we should stick to those fundamental principles, because you get lost in arguing the little, you know, splitting the hairs. It's the fundamental principles that they're violating, you know? And Richie and them understand. He says in there, he says those statutes are for you. He said that. Did you catch that in there? He said they're not for the people. Those are for you. That's why I liked it so much.
That's why I brought it up, Gerard. It seems to have gone over everybody's head.
Yeah, and how many and for an ex-police officer to be telling other police officers that, you know, that's like a bomb. That's like dropping a freaking bomb in the office, you know? And I guess we got to be dropping those bombs all over the place, don't we? Oh, now I said the wrong thing. We got the NSA really listening. I'm sorry. But
well, if there's one thing Donald Trump needs to understand is there's a separation in our government. There's the sovereignty of the republic, the people, that statutory laws do not apply to, and with one executive order, that could be taken care of.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, I don't know. Is he a big enough guy to do that? And that could be his death sentence, too. Because, you know, you want to know the bottom line, Fred? If he did that, the thing that would bother them is the dollar sign. It's the revenue. It's all about the money, isn't it? That's how we got here, was greed, right? They're ultimately making money. Look, we're nothing. We've become cattle. They're farming us practically. You know, I mean, if you really want to get down to the nitty gritty, I mean, people that are you know, somewhat well to do and have money, and they can buy their way out of tickets, they don't feel it so much. But the guy in the street, the guy that's living under this tyranny, he knows it. You know. And eventually they get up to the top too. I mean, you know, the snake ends up eating the tail here, because they you even have people that are in the system that the system's eating. You know, they're so stupid they take their own people down, and that's part of the reason why everybody's waking up, because they've gotten so greedy they're actually eating up their own people. You know, taking them to court and putting these things on their heads and stuff. So, you know, we know that one of the things that they can't stand is like our court watcher system, because when there's people there watching what they're doing, you know, I'm convinced now that these guys who are career judges and career politicians really understand what they're doing. They're not so innocent, because you can't keep ruining people's lives like that and not understanding that something's wrong, you know? And obviously, if you read the Constitution, you would know exactly where it's wrong. But even if you didn't read it, look at just in the law written on your heart, you got to know that you can't be pulling peoples out of their houses and doing this crap to them every day. That's something that our forefathers didn't envision, a nation where these things would come to pass. Their vision was that you could live without paying any taxes if you didn't want to, by just not engaging in the taxable activity. Well, now it's gotten to the point that, my goodness, even breathing is going to be a taxable activity. Apparently it is, because there seems to be nothing they can't tax anymore, right?
Well, the problem with the tax is, I think I heard somewhere that there is, not only is there like jury nullification, but if enough people don't pay it or go along with it, they have to take it off the books.
Right.
I forget what that's called.
It's nullification is what it is. Because, look at...
Well, it's that simple. If everybody gets a tax bill, would turn around and does not apply to me and return to sender, and that would be it.
Right. Well, what's happening? Where's the 100th monkey, or where's that lemming that's going to start them running off the cliff here? That's what we got to get to, because you're absolutely right. You know, when they have any law that reaches a certain level of unenforcement, then they're supposed to take it off the books, because the people have spoken, and that's higher than the Supreme Court. That's the people, and a couple states got rid of their car inspection law because people refused to comply. And when enough of people refuse to comply, then they don't have any right to do it anymore. You know. And so, I mean, look at New York State should be getting rid of the SAFE Act, because it's unenforceable. Nobody's compliant. People are refusing to comply. It should have been gone a long time ago. But we got a real sick system. Look at, I also heard that the Circuit Court ruled against Donald Trump on the ban, meanwhile, you know, President Carter did a ban. President Obama did a ban. Bill Clinton did a ban. Same thing, same exact ban, actually. And I think even under the same law. And the Sixth Circuit ruled against him. Well, the Sixth Circuit has no business ruling at all. If you listen to Brent on the Monday night calls, the three branches of government are co-equal. So how can the Supreme Court tell the executive branch anything? He could say, that's nice, I'm going to do it anyway, right? And he can, and they're going to get slapped down, but you see, they're playing this game. This is a big game that they're playing. They know that they can't order him not to do that. There's even precedent for him to do it. So why did they bring it in the first place? And why are they – look at these – that circuit that ruled against him, all those judges should now be brought up on charges. You know, I maybe hope against hope. Maybe this is what Donald Trump is doing. I don't know that that's the case, but maybe he's giving them enough rope. He goes, okay, now that you did this, we know you, and you – are under treason and you're under arrest. That's what should happen right now. And I believe it 100% that these guys,
Gerard, you're missing many, many things here. First off, are you forgetting that all of the Supreme or all of the judges since 91 took a defective oath of office? And that needs to be addressed. Trump's been held hostage by not having the attorney general in place. He's got many plans, but with these demon-possessed Democrats standing there with their double standards, hogging time, just trying to slow everything down. And now, finally, Sessions is in, okay? That means that Trump could use Sessions, if this is valid, because there's a lot of fake news out there, and I don't know if I trust what I read, but... if it's for real, that means that Trump can do a grand toilet flush of the whole damn legal system, anybody that's been appointed.
That's my point. Look, at if those judges
can,
doing what
he
they're
can
doing.
He can wipe out all of them,
look at,
including Supreme Court.
Look at. It's true. Okay, so they haven't taken a note, so everything is vacant. Now, if you got somebody that has... a cancerous tumor on their body, and you're like, let's go in and just cut it out. Okay, that's nice. It would be nice in theory, it's nice. But if you cut that tumor out, you may end up cutting the heart out, and you may end up cutting the brain out, and you may end up cutting the kidney out. So you can't just come in and do a full sweep like that. What you got to do is you got to do something that allows the system to – you can't destroy the system – with your immune system is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? So there has to
that's
be
if you care for, that's if you care for the patient. They treat us like we're some kind of a dog laying on an operating table and they're experimenting with heart valves. And they just
But look at we're the patient. The nation is the patient.
We're the victim.
Oh, yes, we are. We're the victim with the cancer, and they're the cancer. But if you cut them all out and make this vacuum, what's going to come in? So he has to have something in place. When he comes in and say, look, none of you have had an oath since, he better have a plan in place for putting some good people in there. I think he should put you in there. I think he should put John in there. I think he's got to have a list to replace these people. You see what I'm saying? That to come in swinging a bat without a plan can be as damaging as not swinging the bat. Because look, we got commerce every day. We got things, people going to work. So if you're going to, you can't create chaos while you're fixing the thing. You have to do it in a way. Look, we could get our guns and have a revolution. That ain't going to work because you're never going to get it back to where it was. So what we got to do is we got to do like Kennedy says, it can be peaceful or it can be bloody. So how's it going to be peaceful? Well, number one, you got to reveal the sin, don't you? And the sinner. And then you got to give, then you got to give a certain chance for certain ones that are redeemable to repent. Now, some of them need to be hung by the neck till they're dead. I agree. Because there is no repentance for them. There's only God. Only God can give them repentance, you know? So what's the answer? You know, I don't know. You tell me. I think that most of these guys on the top end that are doing what they're doing, they're useless. We can get rid of them and we can replace them overnight. Now, Trump has to be educated to the fact that these guys have no authority. And that actually makes if we could get that message out there, that makes our job easier, doesn't it? They've became their own worst enemies because they have no authority, do they?
I don't believe Trump has any authority over the judicial either, but the Supreme Court would.
Well, but you just said they're not judicial. They're fraud. They have no oath. So, yeah, he could come in and say, look, you have no oath. Where's your oath? And since you don't have, and who appoints them? The president does.
Well, that's some kind of a discrepancy. I agree. But then again, the president does, he has the ability to appoint, but he does not have the ability to take them out of office except for bad behavior.
But they're not in office. They never were in office. If they didn't take the oath, do you know if you get elected to a position and you don't take the oath, somebody can come in and demand to see your oath. And if you're not there, they can demand to be sworn in and they can steal your position. That there's law on the book that says that. Because you never really took, you don't get the authority of the office until you take the oath. You understand that? This is a serious matter. They did it for a reason. They're smoke and mirrors, man.
It gets a lot more complicated than that. For instance, if a judge passes the bar and his name is spelled out Judge Samuel L. Stevens, that means that only Judge Samuel L. Stevens can be on the bench. It can't be Sam Stevens or S.L. Stevens. It's got to be Samuel L. Stevens. It's got to be the exact name that's written. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's the word magic that they use. But
what I'm getting at is these people are such hypocrites and liars. You know, they take the gavel and swing it, boom, obey all laws. Hell, in California, we had judges that were being paid by the county and by the state, and they found that it was a conflict of interest. They'd have to reverse all the rulings of all the judges. And so what they did is they made an ex facto law that's unconstitutional, making them all, they got their salary from the state. And they didn't have to remit and pay back the money they got from the counties and the cities. But technically, they all should have been in prison. And they gave them all amnesty.
Yeah, and all those cases should have been reversed, but they won't do it because they're talking, they're looking at millions and billions of dollars in lawsuits. Again, we get down to the almighty dollar, don't we?
Well, anybody that had a case of any kind could have actually thrown that in there, called it a de facto law because they're unconstitutional, and my case, I want to go back through it. Or I want it thrown off the books. They could have done that across the nation in California.
Yeah, but nobody did. Nobody did. Why? Why did nobody not? Why did they not do it? Because they hid it. It was hidden, right?
It was hidden in a state legislature, and they passed it at midnight on a New Year's.
Again, another New Year's Christmas thing, just like the Federal Reserve.
Nobody talked about it until after they had passed it and called it law. Anyway, I'm going to yield and let somebody else get on their rant.
Gerard?
Yes.
Yeah, just a quick question. You had mentioned if someone doesn't have an oath that is elected to a position like Court of Common Pleas here, judge, you know, in Pennsylvania, you mean to say, has there already been any precedence that this was done successfully, that their office is actually vacant?
Absolutely. What do you why do you think they... Not only that you can't, they feel comfortable that they can't be held accountable to the Constitution, but that office, it's in the law, it's in the Constitution. I ask John which section and verse it is that tells you that if you don't take the oath, you don't have the office. But you see, they're less afraid of us holding up to that than they are of holding us to the crimes that they did under the oath that they didn't have, because you can't hold them to an oath that they didn't take, right?
But in a courtroom, and if it's brought up in a courtroom and there's actually evidence that people have gone through to show that that particular judge who is being brought in from another county, another jurisdiction, to hear a particular case because of the way these fellows handle themselves up here, and they don't have an oath of office, how would be the best way for this particular individual that I'm thinking of, you know, right off the top of my head? There's a couple of them, because they bring them in. They don't want to bother with some of the people up here, the ones that have been elected to hear the cases up here. So they bring them in from elsewhere, and they're usually retired judges or, you know, judges from Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is a little bit different than up here. So what I'm saying is, would they be able to just, how would they handle it to go sit in the judge's chair, you know? Is pretty much what you're alluding to, if they could take their office.
Right. Now, I don't know. I'm oversimplifying it. That was, you know, on a local town level, you could get away with that. On a federal level, I don't know that they would let you get away with that, but it's the same thing.
Right. Even in Pennsylvania, they have to. So, you know, it's not the federal judges. It's all the judges.
Right. And I had a town law book. I'll have to look it up. And they actually alluded to that if you don't take the oath, you don't have the office. And it was in the book that they gave me when I was elected. And I guess there were cases where people would come in and steal the office in a certain sense because they didn't take the oath. Now, I'm sure that there's a legal process for suing them for operating under color of law with no oath. It's treason.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It's treason against the Constitution. It's war against the Constitution. So, you know, if you want to run a case and they don't have an oath, and look at it, the oath is, you know, it has to be administered, it has to be signed, it has to be on file. Well, isn't that what happened in California? They found that they didn't have oaths. There was a whole bunch of them, I thought, that they went through here about 10 years ago. That one guy, they ended up throwing him in jail, but he found out that none of them had their oath. And that everything that they did was null and void for the past, I don't know how many years.
Right, but I have not heard anybody take it that far that... that office is actually vacant and there needs to be someone in it legitimately. Interesting. I mean, I can see some of the people I know just standing up there taking the oath, you know, after they say something like this and say, okay, you know, I've taken the oath. I've got your job now. Interesting. Thank you. You brought to light a new concept here. Thanks a lot, Gerard. I yield.
Yeah, well, maybe it's that easy. Maybe that's where God has. Maybe that's one of the methods that we'll be able to use when it's revealed. You know what I mean? That people could actually do. Of course, they would probably fix it really quickly if it started marching across the country.
But if they fix it, I mean, that's a good thing too, you know, in the right way.
Well, so, they got to fix it in the right way. They can't make some ex facto law
absolutely.
That says that at this point here, you all just say this and we forgive everything. We forgive everything you did. You know what I mean? That's not justice.
Yeah, kind of like a Hillary Clinton thing. Well, you all make mistakes. I misspoke. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anyway, that's all interesting stuff that we need to look into. And that's, you know, that's something the committee of safety. Look, if this started happening on a local level all over the place, imagine what that would do. If all the local people started going in, how many of these sheriffs that told Trump all this stuff, how many of them don't have an oath? Although usually in my experience, you'll find that the sheriffs do take their oath. I don't know what it is, but it seems to me that they're, although like Sheriff Ward over there, in who was appointed, by the way, he did not have an oath. He was appointed and he didn't have an oath on file. So he was completely, you know, null and void.
Hey, there's something I don't understand. If you go and ask them for their valid oath of office, how do you know it's valid? I mean, couldn't they just backdate it?
Well, I guess they could backdate it, but then they gotta, that takes conspiracy and collusion in. Because right. There has to be an official that swore them in, and then there has to be somebody that notarized it and signed it, and so it becomes very iffy. And, you know, a secret can be kept by two or three, if two are dead.
Right. You say, but the vow, because I've seen these oaths in the law books, and, you know, but the oath itself that you're talking about is valid. It's a fact that they're not properly filed, right?
No. We have a couple of different situations. Number one is the federal judges, they unlawfully made legislation to change the oath. In other words, the Constitution says with the oath that it has to be an oath to the Constitution, and they changed it, and it doesn't even mention the Constitution, so they don't have an oath to the Constitution. They take an oath, but it's not to the Constitution. It's really bad. Because, you know, who are they working for? Well, you know, they're not, they claim to be the United States. They're not the United States of America. Because if they took an oath to the Constitution, they would be the United States of America, not the U.S., you know, capital U.S., the corporate. See, what they're doing is they're running a corporate overlay. And it's not under the Constitution. And the guys on the top know this stuff, you know. And so... You know, even the lawyers and stuff, they do affirmations, sworn affidavits and all that stuff. Nobody's swearing to anything today. You know, they're running these things through defectively because they're running prosecutions and stuff with no sworn statements. Look at the basis of all laws is a sworn statement. And if you don't swear to it, then it's not, you know, if you go in and you swear a statement, the judge has to assume that that's true, that that's law. He can't rebut you if he doesn't have any direct knowledge that it's not true. So if you sit down and you swear a statement against somebody and swear that this is the best that you swear an oath and you sign it and you notarize it, that's a sworn oath under perjury. And so that's assumed to be true. And so they have to run with it. If I go to the sheriff and I say, Terry punched me in the nose at such and such a time and such a place, guess what? He has to come out and arrest you. He has to because I'm swearing an oath.
Wow, that's very interesting and enlightening. I appreciate it. I yield.
Yeah, so I don't know. This is all interesting stuff, but you know, I mean, this all could or should be local committee of safety business. You know, we're worried about Trump, but you know, our own communities have these problems. You know, and actually, maybe that's a way to get to Trump is by cleaning up our own community, starting a movement through the communities with this business of the oath of office, you know?
Yeah, I think this might be the thing that gets people motivated because all these people who are going into these municipal courts and getting screwed don't realize that these oaths that the judges are taking are not even to the Constitution. That will really get their attention, I think.
Well, we have two situations now. Let's get this straight. Now, the federal judges we know are not taking an oath to the Constitution, but on the local end, they may have a proper oath, but they're not even taking it. They're not putting it on file. They have an actual oath that they're supposed to take, and they're just neglecting to do it. And I don't know why that is. I don't know who's encouraging that or if they're just that lackadaisical, but I know that that's the case.
I have a question, Gerard. It's about the lawyers, when they get their bar license, what oath do they take?
Well, they have an oath to a foreign... they have a title to a foreign corporation, I guess. I don't know what... that, and that's in England, right? I don't know. That's even worse. They're bound to a foreign entity, right?
Well, any bar judge has taken that oath, too.
And that's a problem, yes. We've discussed that, you know. That's why, you know, that 13th Amendment was so important now, isn't it? The one that they disappeared on us, right?
Yeah, lawyers can't run for office.
That's right. They can't hold an office because they have a conflict of interest, because they have a title of nobility to England, in England.
A lot happened during the Civil War.
That war was just designed to take our sovereignty away. That's all it was. It had nothing to do with slavery. That was a lie. Slavery was on its way out anyway. You know, the Declaration of Independence essentially ended it. It was only a matter of time before it was going to go. They just used that as the hot button issue, just like today they use, you know, war on terror to an excuse to take all our liberties away. So that was just to lock down the money, the banking, and the business, you know. That's all that was. And the state sovereignty, saying that a state couldn't succeed, which is a lie. Look, the states came into this thing, and it was never intended to be something that they couldn't leave, you know what I mean? So what does sovereignty mean? Sovereignty means you're answerable to yourself, right? You're the king. So how can they tell us that? Oh, you can never leave. I understand that we have a trust. You know, we've entered into a trust, but this business, you know, and the North was abusing the South as far as, you know, the tariffs go and the business goes, and they wanted to lock them down. That's where all the stuff was coming out of, and the North was making all the money on it.
The Civil War was fought over taxation. The South was being ripped off. Slavery was only brought up as a side issue towards the end of the Civil War so that France would not come to the aid of the Confederacy and break the Union blockade.
Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, who's that?
This is Jim from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Jim. Yes.
Greetings, everybody. I would like to talk to the gentleman about it.
I can't hear you. You want to
okay.
talk about what?
You hear me now?
My
thing
is
really low. Okay, I don't know what's wrong with you. I'd like to ask you a question. You're the gentleman that said about getting punched in the nose, and if you tell the authorities, they come down and arrest you. Okay, now my question is, if you would punch somebody in the nose, just a hypothetical question, and the authorities would come and arrest you, couldn't you file a habeas corpus to get out because ain't the individual supposed to call charges himself?
Couldn't you file a habeas corpus for what now? I you trailed off. I had trouble hearing you.
I don't know what's wrong with my mic, but I'm going to try to speak louder. What happened is I was listening to you talk about earlier about, and you said if you get punched in the nose and you notify the authorities who punched in the nose, they would go over and arrest you, correct?
Well, if you swear out a complaint, he's obligated to go and arrest you and have you answer those charges. Now, under common law, there should be two witnesses, but a sworn statement is the basis of law, that somebody is willing to swear a statement and they have to investigate and they have to do the due process thing, charge the crime, get a jury, you know, of the peers of the accused, blah blah blah. That's how it works from common law. Yes.
Yes, two spokes. So if you get arrested, couldn't you do a habeas corpus? Because ain't the individual that got assaulted supposed to file the charges itself?
I'm sorry. The person that got punched is supposed to file the charges. Well, that's what he's doing. When he does the sworn statement, that's what he's doing, filing charges. A habeas corpus is to say by what authority, right?
Yeah. Okay, because I was always under the impression that the person that has got assaulted has to file the charges himself, not just by the police.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. No, because the person who got punched is the guy that's doing the sworn statement, not the police. He's going to the sheriff and making a complaint and swearing it and signing it, an affidavit, a sworn affidavit that you did this, and he's going to even maybe have witnesses in there. Now, they're obligated to do due process and go after the guy who you're claiming to be the perpetrator and arrest him. And, of course, at that point, now the due process of the perpetrator kicks in. They got to get a jury of his peers, and they got to have a trial, right?
Correct.
Of course, I just skipped the grand jury, but that's another step. But you know what I mean? I mean, when a police officer sees a felony being committed in progress, now he's the complainer. And there's some question as to whether or not he can be that guy, but that's the way it goes. If they see a felony in progress, then it's the people of the state of so-and-so going after that particular guy that was committing the felony, right? But if you go in as the victim and you swear a complaint out, that's the basis of law. They have to pursue it.
They
can't say, I don't believe. Well, look, if you went in, they could say, well, who saw it? Because technically under common law, you're supposed to have two witnesses. The other thing is what, are you bleeding? Does your nose look bent? You know what I'm saying? I think they want to see some evidence of that you're not making a false statement. But technically speaking, if you're swearing a statement, they're supposed to assume it's true, because the minute they find out it's not true, guess who's going to jail? You are. If you're swelling false statements, then they got to come out and arrest you when they figure that out, right?
Exactly. So I must have read it wrong, because I was under the impression that if you assault somebody and they go and make a complaint while you're sitting in jail, you're able to file a habeas corpus because of there's no witnesses. It's his word against yours, and the cop really can't put you in jail because he has to be the witness.
That you're right, because that what you're saying is that's a hearsay statement.
So as soon
you're
as
right.
You get a, so as soon as if you or if you assault somebody and there's no witnesses, and which I won't, but if you do, and the cop files charges and he ends up taking you to the slammer, you don't make nobody authorized representative. You file a habeas corpus and give it to the warden. The judge should have to see you and release you because there is no other witnesses. And the cop can't be the witness because he filed a complaint. He didn't see it.
Well,
is that correct?
It is to a point, but look at when you go in and you call the cop and you've been assaulted, and there's evidence there that you've been assaulted, and there's blood, and you got a broken nose, and a cop comes and you make the complaint, and you know, of course, they're going to look for a witness. Hearsay evidence is evidence that somebody just says, and I don't know, you know, if they swear to it, it's supposed to be considered true. You know, if it's a sworn affidavit, you should be arrested, because that guy's saying, I swear under penalty of perjury that you did this to me. Now it's going to help if he has evidence like a broken nose or a witness that says, yeah, he's got a broken nose and I saw him do it. That makes the case stronger. But you see, it's supposed to be fleshed out in court with a jury of the peers. of the defendant, right?
Right. Okay.
But if you assault me and I make a complaint, I make a sworn statement, guess what? The cop's going to come and arrest you and you're going to sit in jail. You can file all the habeas corpuses in the world and you're not going to get out because I'm standing there saying, I'm standing on my honor as a man swearing that you did this to me. And if that's not true, they're going to throw me in jail. And so therefore, unless you got any extenuating circumstances of why I'm lying, you have to do this. And that's the law. The basis of all law is a properly sworn to affidavit, a prima facie affidavit. That's the beginning of a suit, whether it's criminal or whether it's civil. And it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. I don't know what the evidence is. That's going to come out in trial. And yeah, it could be hearsay. Now, hearsay would be somebody that gives testimony to something that has no first-hand knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's a little different. If they're picking you up on hearsay evidence from somebody that can't possibly know first-hand knowledge and they're swearing to something that they have no knowledge of, yeah, then you pull a habeas corpus and you say, well, wait a minute, that's impossible because that person wasn't anywhere where they say they were. They couldn't have possibly witnessed this. They couldn't have known it. And so that's a false statement. And that's what the habeas corpus would flush out, you know? And you're right. The police officer, he's just affecting the warrant, the arrest, you know what I mean? But he's doing it. He's not doing it of his own volition. He's doing it of a complaint of one of the people, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Okay.
But usually, like, when he sees something like a traffic stop, then they go, the people of the state of, and it's not the people. And there really was no sovereign person complaining. It's the police officer claiming that you broke a statute, a rule or whatever. So that's a little different.
Okay, I'd like to ask you a question about that if you bring it up. I'm going to put my business out there. I really don't care. I was traveling, and up here in Pennsylvania, these cops got this automatic license plate. Okay, mind you, he was in a parking lot and I was at Chick-fil-A. He just happened to run my plate on my 90 caddy, and he pulled me over. I asked him what was the probable cause. He says, there ain't none. You're driving on a suspended license. I said, no, I'm traveling. And how do you know? He said, well, I ran your plate. I said, what's your probable cause? He said, I don't need probable cause. Okay, I argued with him. I asked him for his oath. I had to ask him three times. I said, well, you're the one that's committing the felon because you turned your lights on. And you're attempting to commit a catastrophe, not a commercial vehicle, supposed to stop commercial vehicles, end up going to the magistrate. He ends up finding testimony of the officer. Now it's held over for court. Now what happened is I had a DUI, and it's been there since 83, driving under suspension in 2065. And I'm 52. I'll never see him again. So I travel under the flag, as they call it, and I've been having luck. But this last time, and now I go to court. And the thing is, they're offering me 90 days to jail, and I'm not taking it because the last time I went to jail, I was sick for almost a year, and they had to put me on medicine and Amtrak time. And I think that I don't know what they're doing, but every time I go to jail, I know it sounds like a conspiracy, but I'm definitely sick. I'm a little paranoid. But last time I worked in a kitchen, and I uncovered, there's a label on this box. I pulled it off, and it was said for third world countries only, and it was lost chicken.
Yeah, I'm getting like on about half of what you're saying. Your mic is cutting out there.
I'm sorry.
But,
How when you're driving under the flag and you're in front of a judge and you're trying to invoke your right to travel, how, and a cop says that he's seen you break a statute and you're a Pennsylvania citizen, which under the Constitution, bills of attainder are illegal, and you tell the magistrate that. I realize now it's an international court, they don't hear it. But how would you address this situation coming up in court then?
Well, look at you. That's a big uphill battle, and it does belong in a federal court, because they can't be the judge, jury, and executioner of their own court on that particular unalienable right. You see, and you're going to argue it in front of them, they're never going to give it to you. I mean, maybe there is a guy that's been winning in the state courts, and I forget his name. I used to belong to this site, Your Remedy Is in the Law, and he has like a 90-something% win rate in traffic court, and he does a lot of right to travel stuff. And I think, I don't know how he couches his arguments, but you know, I can imagine what he's doing to win in the state court. And I think the way he's winning in the state court is he's setting the case up so that when it comes in, the judge knows that he's going to take it into the federal court, and he's going to add the judge as a defendant for not ruling right. And I think that's the only way you'll win it, is if the judge's skin is on the line and he doesn't want to fight you, you know, constitutionally in the federal court, and he thinks you actually have the wherewithal to do it, you know, and you set the language up, and you're signaling the judge that if he doesn't do the right thing, that he's going to be added to the case, and you're going to go after him personally for violating your rights under color of law. But you got to be real careful with the language. That's a real, you know, careful tap dance that you need to do. And there's not too many people winning it, although there are people that have won it on the state level. You know.
Yeah,
I mean, look, that's something they don't want to. That's like them letting go of anything else. They make a lot of money from this. If they acknowledge that we have a right to travel, and that you know, the licenses are a commercial thing, you know, for driving for hire and that stuff, look at all the money they would lose. You know, some of these towns are half their, you know, budgets are being financed by traffic court.
Yeah.
So they're not going to let go of that too easily, you know. I mean, and the way they'll let you go in a traffic court thing like that, and we've done it at National Liberty Alliance, that is, you file these papers and you let them know, and after a while, and you put the judge on, and then when they don't do the right thing, then he has to recuse himself because you're suing him, and eventually what they do is they throw the case out. It never goes to federal court. And we did have paperwork that shows you how to do that. We used to have a video, and I don't know if you've ever, it was called, what was it, Stop the Cop, where you come into the court and you start asking the judge what jurisdiction. I thought it was pretty cool, you know, but, you know, you got to know how to file the paperwork after you go into court and pull that whole scenario. You got to know what the next step is, which is what I just told you what it is you got to bring the judge into the case, and that they don't like. You know, that's when they sit up and they take notice, you know?
I don't know how to do it.
Well, you got to educate yourself, but that's not what this is about. What this is about is that if everybody, you know, you got a right to travel problem, you got all these other different problems, but if everybody in their communities of safety and in their communities would get together, if you could get look at this system only that they have, this corporate overlay that they're pushing on our heads, and the things that they're doing to us, if everybody would just get together and stick together, all we have to do is everybody go in 1 month and say, not guilty, I want a trial. They'd be done. They couldn't possibly give everybody a trial.
Well,
they got more tickets than they got abilities to run trials for.
I know, but up here they won't give you a trial for summary. They won't give you a trial. They claim you don't need a trial. They violate.
Well, that's right. And then you sue them. Then you have to sue them. What do you mean? You know, when you say I'm innocent, they don't send you back home and say come back for a trial.
Well,
I'm not talking about it. I'm not even talking about a jury trial. I'm just talking about a bench trial.
No, the cop says what he says, and they go on a cop's word. And the judge decides what's going to He looks at your
I understand that, but that doesn't happen at the arraignment. That happens at the trial.
That happens at the trial, but the arraignment.
Right.
Just...
So you're going to show up. You're going to show up with the ticket, or you're going to write not guilty on it. And then the cop has to show up. And then the judge is going to go with the cop. Well, I'm telling you, I'm calling that a trial, quote unquote. If everybody did that, they would be closed down. They don't have, they couldn't get enough cops. There'd be no cops on the street. You understand what I'm telling you?
Yeah, exactly what you're saying. But I'd
they could not even do that, that kangaroo court that they do. They couldn't even do that because they got too many dang tickets.
Well, if you were set up in the Westmoreland County Traffic Court, you'd lose your lid because it don't happen that way. The way you're explaining it, I know you're right. I've seen it done in other courts. It don't happen in this court. It don't happen. You judge.
Well, if it doesn't, if they're doing something different than having you plea and then making a date when the officer shows up and you get a chance to. Let him rebut you and back and forth, then they're doing something. I mean, look, it's illegal to begin with, but that's even worse. There's no due process. That requires a federal trial. That requires somebody, being the judge in the court and the county or whoever, the municipality getting sued in a court because they should not be doing it any other way.
No, as soon as they stop you with the custodial arrest, they violate your process right there, your due process.
I understand that, but you still get to answer in court. But I'm just saying, as a committee of safety type thing, if you're living in a municipality where your traffic stuff is getting egregious, it's easier to get a bunch of people to meet and to do something about that than in a place where that's not happening. Not every municipality. Today I almost wonder if everyone. Doesn't have, you can stand in traffic court and get all kinds of people to join your committee of safety because they got, hundreds of people a month going in there, depending on the population of your town. But I'm saying this is a good project to do as a committee of safety where you would meet and you would discuss what's going on in the traffic court. And then maybe even have a bunch of people show up on those days that people have tickets and doing court watchers and running your paperwork through. We've gotten people out of traffic stuff just by filing paperwork at the court, and they say you can't file that, and they have to. You could take it right out of that court and you can bring it into your state Supreme Court. They're a Nizzy Prius court. They have no power. They only have power because you plead.
Really learn that. I'm starting to get smart about myself. I got one more question. I'll let you go.
I'm having trouble hearing you. I don't know what's going on with your mic there, buddy.
Okay. I'm going to ask you one more question. I'm going to let you go, and I'm just going to listen. Did you ever hear of taking your birth certificate and telling the judge he's the trustee to take care of this matter?
Yeah, I've heard of that, and I don't. Most judges won't know what you're talking about, probably. I don't know that much about it, but I do know. I do know that exists and that's something that's out there. But I don't. I wouldn't expand upon that type of stuff. I'd only, get you in more trouble.
I don't know. I don't know if most judges know or not, but I know when they get you to speak your name, you become from the executive or down to the trustee.
Yeah, and also, look at when you go in there and they ask you, how do you plead? Do you understand the charge? That's all stuff that brings you under their jurisdiction.
Yeah, I say I say I don't understand. I tell them animals make pleas. I make statements.
Well, yeah, and they'll put you in a hospital and examine you to see if you're crazy. They'll turn it into something else. But that's absolutely right. When they say, do you understand, they mean, are you standing under our authority? I wouldn't say I don't understand. I would say I understand what you're saying, but I don't recognize your authority. I don't stand under your authority. I would expound upon it more myself if I was going to take that tact, And when they say, well, how do you plead? I say, well, I don't plead because no contest, guilty or not guilty. Well, how about innocent?
Innocent is
different than not guilty, and they won't take that.
I didn't even have to plead guilty. They said I was not guilty automatically.
No, he put a plea in for you. He was practicing law from the bench. That's illegal.
Now, how can – I taped the whole thing.
Yeah, well, they're used to doing what they're doing, and they're not afraid of anybody doing anything different because it's status quo, because everybody, nobody fights them on it.
Okay, so even though I got him on tape saying this is not a constitutional court on tape. He says the Constitution don't apply to my court.
That's pretty good.
I do. I'll send it.
Probably doesn't. He's right. It doesn't apply in his court because he probably doesn't even have an oath. It's an administrative court.
Oh well,
what you should say is then I'm free to go. Then I'm walking out of here.
Well, that's because, another thing.
Wait a minute. Is this fine more than $20? If this fine's more than $20, then you have to give me a jury trial, and you are under the Constitution. Anyway, I don't want to go around about that
I understand.
Here, right? You know what I mean?
No, I mean,
it's late. I should get going. I came in late. I didn't even realize it's after 11 o'clock. But anyway, does anybody else have... Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your time.
Just be careful. Because you will end up in jail again. You know what I mean? But main thing is to stay out of jail, because you can't... Going to jail doesn't do anybody any good except for them.
Yeah, they make money off of your birth.
They make money, exactly.
You're on the stock market when you go to jail. Check the Fidelity website out.
Yeah. They're all private corporations today, so you're up against an evil, evil thing. But anyway, if nobody has anything else earth-shattering here or revealing, otherwise I'm gonna shut things down because it's already 11:20.
Hello. I have one more thing I'd like to bring up. Gerard, this is California with Red.
Yeah, and there was somebody else there. Go ahead.
On InfoWars, 2 days ago, they arrested 474 people in a sex slavery
ring scandal. Pizzagate scandal.
Well, Pizzagate is what the mainstream fake news is putting out. But,
oh, so that's the one from down there with Clinton in New York and that, and the Express and all that, right?
This was San Diego and Los Angeles. The New York part of it is still, they're kind of quiet about it. I think they're still doing research.
Well, the New York City police have the, well, that's a whole nother story I won't get into, but yeah, you're right. We'll leave it at that because there's more to that than meets the eye, but go ahead.
What I'm thinking is that NLA should get involved in this because along with their oaths of office and other stuff, these pedophiles are at the top of our government. We've got to be able to take them down. And the common law is the law of God and nature. It's not the law of the devil. I'm going to yield.
Yep. Somebody else had something to say when I asked for Fred. Go ahead. Who was that?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Gerard. From New York.
Hey, how you doing?
Mr. Very good. Yeah, Mr. Bagelbean.
What's going on?
I wondered if you could just spend a few minutes and expound on this home rule idea that I heard you talk about a few months back. Let me give you a little background here for just a second.
Go ahead, prime me up.
To a local scope meeting in New York, and him and one of the town supervisors were talking about the SAFE Act, and the county that we're in, which is next to your county, passed a resolution not to enforce the SAFE Act, not to fund the SAFE Act. So the sheriff is vowing that he's not going to take any weapons away from anybody, and this is all good news. But the supervisor made a motion that under home rule the SAFE Act be scrapped, and it was approved by the County Board of Supervisors. So now, I heard you
talk
about
home rule,
and I'm wondering now, I was told that this takes precedence over state law.
Well, it's the same as if the legislator said it. And look, don't forget, the legislators are doing a lot of stuff that is unconstitutional under the guise of law. They pass legislation that doesn't change the Constitution, but, you know, I'm not trying to diminish home rule. Look, as long as it's constitutional, it does take precedent. It's the same as if the legislators did it, the home rule, and that's great stuff. The only problem is that are the state police and the feds going to honor that? Is the sheriff going to arrest the state trooper that comes into his county and tries to enforce the SAFE Act in his county or in that municipality? What was this, a town or it was a county? Was it a county resolution or a town?
No, it was a county resolution.
Oh, that's even better. So it's countywide. Yeah,
so
every county should do that because, look, if it's countywide, then the sheriffs have the ability of telling the state troopers you're not to enforce the SAFE Act at my county, or I'll arrest you.
Basically, this whole state taking over the gun, you know, the gun permit thing is, you know, they should have just left well enough alone.
Well, yeah, now they're going to, this is going to be the pimple that pops the thing, right?
We in this local scope group, I mean, we're sitting here and we're saying, well, if we can actually get this to, to get some teeth into the anti-SAFE Act thing, then we'll just spread it amongst scope throughout the state, and then the SAFE Act will be enforced in counties that don't have a resolution for it, which is not really fine with us, but when you figure where all government rule should be local anyway, because then the people are closer to their representatives, then, you know, you could almost say, hey, listen, we're doing things the right way here. I realize where they passed that, but then we kind of, by our local government, we didn't really nullify it. We just passed a resolution that we're not going to honor it. So, because it's not constitutional.
Well, that is not kind of nullification.
We're overriding it because it's, you know, the whole idea of not to be infringed really means a lot to people out here and where there's a lot of trees.
Well, if you're not going to honor it because it's unconstitutional, I would call that you're nullifying it, because if it's unconstitutional, Marbury versus Madison says it is no law at all, and you can violate it with impunity.
Well, this is kind of what I want to, you know, to go.
And the other thing is the problem is that's fine for like assault rifles and stuff like that, but what about concealed carries, which are valid throughout the state? I mean, they're given by the county, but they're valid through the state. And so the minute you don't re-register your pistol, like let's say they want you to do it now every 5 years and they want the state police to take it, so the state troopers know that you haven't re-registered it, and the state police are going to know, you know, what your address is and what your driver's license is. So unless you plan on never leaving the county, you're not going to have any gun right. They're going to pick you up the second you cross the border. So you're going to end up with like a balkanization, because they're going to have the ability to pick you up. You become a felon when you don't do that, and they can come pick your guns up. Of course, the sheriff's not going to let them in his county. so they can't come to your house and pick them up. But the minute your car crosses the county line, the troopers will pull you over, arrest you, throw you in jail, and try you at the state court. And they'll try you in a municipality that's enforcing it.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
they'll wait until you're in a municipality. You're out of that particular county, you know?
Well, yeah, but I mean, a county is a pretty big area. I mean, you chew the elephant one bite at a time. I mean, if you go over
to Massachusetts. No, I understand. I'm just saying that it's still a problem. But, you know, I could stay in my county forever and be happy, you know, and carry my gun and all that stuff. But, you know, there comes a point after all this, you say, well, why do I need the dang pistol permit to begin with? If you want to know the truth of the matter, right?
Just a second. I want to throw in a legal crowbar.
Yeah, go ahead. You've been doing it all night. Go ahead.
Okay. Many states have rules about motor homes, that it becomes your home on wheels.
Yes, I've heard that. Uh-huh.
When it comes to a stop, you have all the rights of a house. The requirements for a motor home is to have a toilet. So all you got to do is run out and buy one of those portable crappers and stick that in the back and call it your home. And they're screwed.
I knew I liked you for a reason.
Yeah, but doesn't the Fourth Amendment keep you? Doesn't the Fourth Amendment also say papers and effects? So in addition to your home, your car is in effect. I mean, the car wouldn't be there if it weren't for you.
Well, it's just, you know, the point is that the home is more sacrosanct than anything. In other words, you know, you don't have to let them into your home. There are certain states that let you keep a gun in the home, you know, because your home is your property. And all our rights in this country were based on property rights. But don't forget, your first piece of property is your body. So, you know, let's make it in that we're getting deeper, right? You know, kind of like Clinton going, well, what is the meaning of is? But the fact of the matter is they had to couch our rights in something, and they couched them in property rights. And so, yeah, these things are all extensions of those property rights, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, if somebody attacks you and you kill them, right? Let's say you defend yourself. There's much less questions asked if you're in your home when it happens than if you're in the street, right? Somebody comes to the front door and he's attacking you, and you shoot him, you're better off dragging him in the house and making him land in the house, because the cops will ask a lot less questions if he's breaking into your home. That's just the way it is, right? You know what I'm saying, right?
Well, to an effect, yes.
Yeah, because it's your place. It's your castle. Your home is your castle. And you're right. Your car is kind of an extension of that, but it is removed. And it does. And certainly that sheriff that's not going to enforce it, he can't help you in your motorhome if you're not in his jurisdiction, right? Your home just moved out of his jurisdiction, right? So it's a little different. It's the same, but it's different. It's not quite as strong as the house, but it should be, you know? I mean, when you get out of your car, if you got a traffic stop and they get you out of the car, you should lock the car, not give them permission to go in it. I mean, if he's got no probable cause, he shouldn't be searching your car.
All of this really doesn't matter if when you get to court they're not going to enforce the rule of law, so it doesn't matter. I mean, we had a talk a couple of weeks back. And they were talking about with Brett, with the right to remain silent, which is, you know, what they read you when you're arrested, you know. So that right is applicable only when you're arrested. It's applicable on a 24/7 basis. It's like you have the right to speech, but you also have the right to not speak. So, and the way you speak sometimes is through writing. So if they're telling you that you have to speak and fill out a permit to recertify, and you say, no, I choose not to do that because I have the right to remain silent, you know, then they come over and they say, well, you know, you don't have a gun permit, and you know, you didn't get your permit, and you say, yeah, I exercise my right not to talk anymore about it. And they'll say, well, where's your guns? I have nothing more to say about it. You know? I have the right to remain silent, and I'm not going to give up that right to remain silent. So I don't know. I mean, but of course, they're not going to respect that right anyway. So you're going to have to get to a jury in a federal court and all the rest of this stuff. I almost think we almost have to get it to the point where if the people are going to go ahead and do a Bill of Rights case in federal court, you should be able to go in there without your name. Because obviously it taints you forevermore if you're in there fighting over something that the government is doing. Then the government knows who you are. You're in all the databases. It'd be nice if we could go in there as, yeah, I'm John Doe, and here's my affidavit, and I signed it John Doe, and that's it. Let's go with the case here. You know? Well, who are you? Well, I could be Andrew Cuomo's nephew, or I could be the King of France. Who knows, you know? Or it could be Joe Schmo from Kokomo. Just let's go with the case as it is.
Sue their paperwork as a violation of the Dick Act.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. If the government is not going to follow the law, then what's the use of it all? You know, it seems like that's got to be the first thing that happens. You know, so I guess home rule only matters is if they're going to follow the law, then you go, well, home rule rules here. And you go, no, I don't think so. Put your left hand behind your head.
Well, they look at home rule. If the town passed the law, the local police and the state police have to honor that, just like the legislator passed it. And look at their statutory guys. That's the town passing a statute, and a statute is okay as long as it's constitutional, right? It's supposed to be a statute supposed to be based on the Constitution, right? And of course, yeah. We talked about how statutes are supposed to be for them, right? But when they pass a law in home rule and it says, you know, in this town we're not going to enforce this or we're not going to enforce that. I mean, is that a law? I mean, usually a law is more. I don't know. Is it more positive than that or negative than that? The laws say you can't do this, you can't do that. Usually they don't say we're not going to do this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. How do you what do you classify that as? You have to make it. You have to word it that in this town, you have the freedom of carrying this gun without a Safe Act certification. That's how you have to word it. You couldn't word it that we're not enforcing it. You have to have the wording that says it's in this town. It's not valid. You don't need it, and that is nullification. That is the very essence of nullification. And if they're not writing it like that, then maybe they're not nullifying it then.
Well, then that's what we're going to have to do because, I mean, or at least push them for it, because if you already went halfway down the field, if you wanted a touchdown, you got to get past the goal line, you know?
So there you go. You should dig up the resolution and see how it's written.
Well, yeah. And if not, then we'll put another resolution out there, and then when we get it done and we get it registered at the county level, then we'll send a certified copy over to the Attorney General and have him direct the governor to tell the state police that you're persona non grata as far as the SAFE Act in the county that the resolution was passed under home rule.
I think you got something really good there, Jim, because when I was on the town board, I remember that people would come in from other towns and they would say, look it, we just passed this resolution in our town, and we've been to three other towns and they've passed it also, and we would like you to pass it. And people would come in with certain resolutions like that, and they would run them from town to town to town to town. And so, if you could get that thing going from town to town to town to town, that would be a perfect vehicle for nullification right there. How do you nullify? Well, you get every town to pass a resolution.
Yeah, on many different levels, too. You know, everybody complains.
First of all, you won't get every town to pass a resolution. But if you can get a certain percentage of them, that's still an argument for nullification. You know, you probably won't get Woodstock or New Paltz to pass it. I don't know. Maybe you would. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, the nice thing about that is, you know how they say with one state versus another, like in Texas, you don't see that many murders as opposed to over in Chicago. So that would prove the same thing in New York State. It'd be like, well, downstate in the city, they don't have all these gun laws, and yet the people run amok with guns. And up here in the country, we're allowed to carry guns, and we respect them guns, and we use them for what they're for, and we hardly have any murders. And that just goes to show that the people in their respective areas are smarter and are governing, you know, using it wiser. They're using the law the way it's supposed to, in a common sense fashion. And, of course, common sense, of course, when you're talking to state, you know, if you use accountability and common sense, they have no idea what you're talking about then. So, anyway, I just wanted to find out because I heard you talk about it, and I wanted to kind of confirm it because I'm going to bring it up at the next meeting, and we want to go statewide with it. Because,
I think you should, but I think before you go statewide, I think you should really examine the language of the resolution and make it really strong. You know what I'm saying? So that
a resolution such as this has been passed in other counties, neighboring counties too, and different wordings and stuff. But the, you know, the basic genre is the same, is that we don't, you know, we're not expending any monies, and we're not going to use any manpower and all to enforce a SAFE Act. You know, like
the other thing you can do is, it's nice if they would all pass the same wording, but even if they don't, even if they pass something that looks like it or sounds like it or whatever, then what you do is you gather all of those up and you bring them in, and then you push them through up through the state legislator and say, look it, we're declaring this act null and void because you have this percentage of noncompliance. And I do believe there's a precedent in the law that says that if they get a certain guy for it, I don't know what that percentage is, somebody needs to look into this. If you can prove that there's a certain percentage of noncompliance, that they have to repeal the law or nullify it or whatever, you know what I mean? And I think the SAFE Act is already there. I think it's already being nullified, and I think it's already being ignored in numerous places. They're already ignoring the magazine ban on it. I mean, they keep fixing different sections of it. It used to, you know, the common law thing was that if a part of a law was unconstitutional, the whole thing would get thrown away. You know, but now they go, oh, well, no, we're going to just take that part out. We'll fix it. You see, that was never the way. It was supposed to go all the way back through the process again. Now you can carry 10 bullets instead of 6 and all that baloney, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yep, yep.
I mean, I had a sheriff, we had the sheriff over here, and they were talking, and he said, well, the Third Circuit Court said the magazine ban was unconstitutional, but over here in the Sixth Circuit, they didn't say that, so I wouldn't go putting bullets in. I said, do you realize how ridiculous what you just said? If the Third Circuit said it's unconstitutional, it's unconstitutional throughout the whole place. Something, you know, it's like being like half pregnant. You either are pregnant or you aren't pregnant, you know? Oh, well, it's unconstitutional in this county, but in this county it's constitutional. What constitution are you going by, you know?
Yes. Yes, that's the whole thing. You know? All right.
But I think that's a great idea, Jim. Keep me abreast of that, because I will help you with that. I will push it. And I'd like to see, you know, the language of the one that you have, and I don't know. That I don't think anything's been done in Greene County, but maybe it has. I haven't kept up on the local stuff like I should be, you know, or like I used to anyway.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's getting pretty late. If anybody, it's 11:41, so I'm going to turn the recording off because it's getting long.
No problem.
Anybody else want to?